Episode 4, Save Money on Housing Hacks.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. I'm Jen, and I am joined by my co-host, Jill. How are you today, Jill?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jen?
I am fine. I wanted to say something with alliteration, like frugally fine. But
I'm glad you did it. I'm just fine.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So I put a lot of stuff in the notes for today's episode, and it seems like a small topic. Like, it's definitely no groceries, but housing is a big expense. It's most people's biggest expense. So it deserves a lot of info, I think. So we're going to definitely cover renting. We're going to cover alternative housing. We're going to cover buying a house, what to do if you already own one, alternative options for buying. So that's what we're going to cover today. And let's jump on in.
Yeah, this might be a 4-hour episode.
You might want to take a bathroom break now, just hit pause, go get a snack, and then come back. Actually, it's a podcast. You could just take it with you.
Yes.
We'll never know if you listen on the toilet.
And you'll never know if you're listening to us while we're on the toilet.
Yeah. Because we have really good microphones. We can mute ourselves.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, let's get into what the internet has to say. Our first article is from MarketWatch. It's why it makes more sense to rent than buy. So this is for all of our renters that still have not bought. But I feel like everybody who's renting is always thinking about buying. How do you feel, Jill?
I would agree with that. If we're talking generals, yeah, I would agree with that. I'm not, but I don't think that I am in the generals.
Yeah. I know that when we were renting, we were fine renting, but we were always hoping to buy. We were definitely in that camp. And we've owned for a year. And I still feel like I love our house and I'm glad we bought, but I still feel pretty like, I don't know, indifferent. Like, I could still be renting and that would be fine. But yeah. I would probably still be looking.
Some people feel very strongly about this. Like, it was part of their child rearing experience to be told, like, you are flushing money down the toilet if you are renting. So do everything within your power to buy a home. And that's just kind of like the mantra that a lot of people live off of. And a lot of people have great arguments for it. But I would also say that some people are just like, you just buy. That's just what you do. You just buy. And that is where I've got some red flags with it, because there's a lot to consider if you're going to buy. And it may not always be cost effective. And you could really hurt yourself with the type of mortgage that you choose, how quickly you jump into something, how much you're paying for a house. Yeah, there's a lot of things that go along with that. So I don't disagree with those arguments, but I don't want to bash renting as much as I think it can be bashed.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, in the MarketWatch article, they definitely do a good job of like saying what the upsides are to renting specifically. Jill, what did you like from this article?
Well, to steal some of the things that you had pointed out, I think I like the very open-handed approach that he took to like renting versus buying and really weighing the two out. So I didn't feel like it was like heavy-handed in either direction, but really understood what buying is. That yes, it's an investment, but you're still paying property tax. Sometimes your mortgage is far more than what you would spend on a rental property, like just, you know, renting monthly. So I think a lot of the points that he made were very worthwhile to consider, no matter what side of this you land on, whether you rent or buy. I think that he makes some great points. I think people are just like, this is what my mortgage is going to be. And there's no consideration for how much is it going to cost in repairs, and I am now responsible for that, and I need to pay insurance and taxes and all these things that you're not necessarily factoring into a mortgage. You know, people can get excited about a $700, $800 mortgage, but what else are you also paying? So I think he highlighted that well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that it, and there's like a large, there's a growing community of people that are totally against buying. And I think that the writer does do a good job of being just like very reasonable about it. And one of the reasons I picked this article was that it was written in January of this year, because I feel like articles about housing, literally, if you mm-hmm. haven't read them in the last 4 weeks, everything has changed and they're totally outdated. But I mean, the first sentence is nearly 2/3 of Americans live in areas where it is more affordable to rent than buy. Mm. So that's definitely, you have to consider like all of the aspects. And like one thing I was thinking is they were saying this, last year when we were buying, and I've heard it my entire life. But people are always saying that like rates are so low and housing prices are only going up from here. And it's just like, it's just not true. Like rates will go back down. Housing prices will go back down. So like you shouldn't be in a rush to buy. But then like also you shouldn't put it off if it's something you really want. So, and I mean, I would argue the notion that a house is an investment. I really think it's a home. And so until you're ready to incur the cost of maintenance, upkeep, designing it to be a place you love, no one, including yourself, should rush you into buying. Like you're not missing out on anything by renting. It's totally frugal. Like I remember our first mortgage payment was several hundred dollars more than our rent. And only like $200 went to the principal. Mm. So like the rest of it was still being thrown away on like taxes and, home insurance and all that stuff. So it's like, it's just not everything that it's cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that you can still save money while renting. I mean, it's not throwing it, in my opinion, down the toilet, because you have to live somewhere. Like that is going to cost mm-hmm. money, whether you rent or you own or you come up with some other kind of non-traditional housing idea. But you're going to pay money to live somewhere. So like there is value in that, like having shelter. It's valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, yeah, another reason that I think that it's like a house is an investment. It's because you're going to have to live somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like and, that is a necessity.
And your time matters too. Like there's value to your time and then the time that it is going to require you to put into upkeep of your home versus for a lot of people who are renting, like that's the better route to take because it can save money. You don't have these like unanticipated costs with something breaking. And then your time is freed up. If you're in a traditional renting apartment situation where you don't have a yard to take care of, you don't have excessive cleaning to do or like I said, repairs. So I think that it's important to weigh out like the cost benefit of all aspects of it and how valuable is your time and are you prepared to take on what it means to own a home.
Yeah. And I mean, I think renting is super frugal. A lot of people have used like buying a house for the interest that you can write off on your taxes. And that's like not going to be as valuable anymore, especially to like most middle-class Americans. I mean, it's still up in the air, the things that you're going to be able to do with the new tax law. But it's just becoming less and less like the American dream to buy, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Jill, I'm really excited to hear about your like alternative housing stories.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this episode. Because Jill has probably some of the best like housing hacks that I've ever heard. And I want you to go through all of them because I love them.
Yeah. This is like not intentionally, but I've got a handful of experiences that are just not traditional. Not for everybody, but certainly something to be aware of and to be even seeking out if this is, you know, kind of something that's up your alley. But I mean,
I think if you're in the renting camp and you want to take it one step further, all the ideas you're going to throw out are going to be like just the most ultimate.
Yeah.
Huge. So, they're going to be huge.
Huge. Wait for it. So I can go through all of our housing experiences because I think each one is a bit unique and probably has like something in it for somebody. So when Eric and I first got married, we lived in a in-law suite at his parents' house. So, I mean, really it was an apartment. There wasn't a door connecting the two, but it had previously been used as an in-law suite. We fixed it up a bit and lived there for a little over a year. And then once we moved out, that created a space for his parents to be able to continue to rent and use as a bit of, like income for them. And so I think that idea can be translated for other people just to keep an eye out within your community of, hey, who's got in-law suites? Who's got, you know, a garage that could be renovated into something, you know, for a short time while I save up money. It's better than your parents' basement. It's a step above that.
Yeah.
So that was an awesome experience. Then from there, so we were looking to rent an apartment and came across it, in our area, living expenses is very expensive, like buying houses, renting everything. It's expensive. So within our budget, what existed was not nice places. So we came across one place in particular that was, it was an eyesore, but we went out on a limb and we asked the landlord if he would be open to paying for materials and us putting free labor into the apartment and fixing it up and living there, but maintaining the cheap rent. And he was crazy enough to agree to that. So that we lived there actually for 2 years. And that, again, that's not a situation that everybody could walk into because we did have the skill to be able to fix it up. And we had a landlord who was crazy enough to allow us to do that. But he didn't have much to lose because the place really was a dump before we moved in. But that allowed us to live in a really nice place for really inexpensive. And then from there, it just gets crazier. So after that, we decided that we wanted to really go hard at paying down student loan debt. So we had been joking about living in an RV. Like, it just happened while we were on family vacation. We we were looking for something that we could go on vacations with and like drag the boat along with us. And as we were looking at these RVs, we were like, these are really like homes. These are small homes that you could totally make work for living. And yeah, within 3 weeks we had bought an RV and we were fixing it up and moving in. And I loved it. Oh my word. I would do that again in a heartbeat. And maybe we could do another episode just on what RV living is about and yeah, how to do that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we lived in a 28-foot RV and it had every, I mean, I'm not gonna say there was more than enough space, but it had everything that we needed. It had a kitchen, living room, bathroom, bedroom, and it was on wheels. And that's how we met you, Jen, and your husband. So
we have fond memories of that RV, and you redid it and it looked beautiful.
Yeah. So that was our version of home ownership within our means. Like we recognized that we were not ready to take on like $220,000 of debt. Instead, we bought an $18,000 motor home, fixed it up, lived in it for a little less than a year. And then when we sold it for a profit. So we made like percentage wise, we did decent on that, which again, really helped us pay down debt. So not only did we save money, but then when we turned around and sold it, we did really well with that. And the only reason we moved out of there was because we had an opportunity to house it in a log cabin in the woods. So that was a hard one to turn down. So we just had friends whose parents were going abroad for a year and a half with business. And so obviously they didn't want to sell their house if they're only going to be gone for a year and a half, but they felt more comfortable with somebody living there and, you know, using the stuff in the home and just making sure that everything is running as it should. So we did that for a time. And there are opportunities. As we were living in the house, we were like, this is great. Like, I wonder if people do this full time. And sure enough, there are, like organizations that help to pair both house sitters and house cities. I don't know if that's how you would say it, but people who are looking for house sitters and people who want to house sit, that is something that people do. They either can make it as it be a job or, you know, like actually make money if they're caring for pets or just cheap housing. For us, all we paid was electric while we were house sitting because it wasn't worth it to the couple to find somebody to rent it because they came home and they wanted to live in their house when they came home. So there were some things that like we had to be, accommodating, flexible. Like you've kind of got to be like a little bit go with the flow if there's a situation like that. But for us, it really worked out. And yeah, that to save the money, I don't care. Bring everybody. Yeah.
And it was such a cute cabin too. We got to stay in it twice and that was so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we loved it. It was like our time in the woods. And we just moved out of there to move in with my grandmother. My grandfather passed away a few months ago. And so she's living alone, has dementia, but can still like is still relatively independent and really doesn't need to go into a home and would prefer to be in her own home. But yet needs really just the company. Like she's lonely. And then making sure she's taking her medicine, making sure she's not leaving the gas stove on, things like that. But otherwise, like she's relatively independent. So Eric and I are all about like reducing housing costs, sharing where you can. Like we also like intermittently throughout this, you know, what I'm describing to you as like our housing journey, we have also lived with friends for like over a month, in between some of these things, just like in their basement, using their extra bathroom. And And I think those types of things can be explored. It's probably for someone who may be a little bit more extreme in what they're willing to do for housing. But I do think that our culture, which is, you know, moving towards tiny homes and wanting to be frugal and recognizing that we don't need all this stuff and simplifying, I think along with that, like for us comes, why do we need a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house for just one person? Like, we now represent 3 people in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. And my grandmother wins because we're here to help with the cooking and taking her to doctor's appointments and shoveling for her and mowing the grass rather than us in our own home and her in her own home, us needing to care for her home and then come over to her home and try to help her care for her home. It's just like, why don't we just share the space and take care of that together? So, yeah, I think like you see a little bit of our, you know, just framework for approaching life come out of the way that we do housing. But I don't think that it's too far off the beaten path. And I think a lot of people are starting to get on board with it. But yeah. Anyways, I'm also thinking in the show notes, we can talk about, or well, I can post this link too. There, for this specific plug of living with elderly, I know that I've seen a lot of things going on Facebook of how they do this, like in other countries like Sweden, where, you know, students are matched with elderly people. And so you get the cheap.
Oh yeah. I saw that.
And, yeah. And it's like, that's so sweet. And that's kind of like, that's basically what we are doing, only for a family member. But also within the States, it is possible to get paid for caring for the elderly. Like there is benefit to just the government in not having to pay for elderly people to be in retirement communities. So it, we'll post the link. Caring.com did a little website on what different states offer and how you can go about making some money if you do already care for a friend or a family member who's elderly, because it does take up time and energy and there is a value to it. So that's another thing to consider as well.
Did you notice in the article if it was like just for single people or could couples do it?
Anybody. So the money goes to the elderly person for their care. And then the elderly person is able to decide who they want to give that to. So that can be a family member. That could be an organization or an agency coming in, however they want to do that.
That's awesome. Yeah. And like not owning gave you the flexibility to take advantage of all these opportunities. I think like a big thing is that you had a community big enough to like have these opportunities like come to you. Yeah. So like the friends and the log cabin, and you weren't afraid to like to take these risks because you didn't have anything tying you down.
That's exactly.
And it's also, yeah, it's given you freedom for your work. Like, you guys can own your own business and, like you don't have to be making like 6 figures a year to live. Like,
right.
And you can go back to school and like pay for that. And so yeah. It's just given you so much flexibility. Mm-hmm. And I think for people who value time over net worth, I think that is like an invaluable thing to look at is like, how can I be more flexible with where I live?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think that really does sum it up is the flexibility. We would not have been able to like bebop around like that if we were tied down to like a really big investment. Yeah. So it has worked out for us, and I'm not saying buying in the future won't be for us, but it's really worked out in our favor so far, especially like, yeah, these are all great opportunities. And all of our friends are like, oh my word, how do these things keep happening? It's like, well, who else could do this? Like, there's not many people who either aren't like tied down to a leasing agreement or have pets or kids or a certain standard of living or a lot of stuff. I mean, we also live very simply. We don't have a lot of stuff. So that also makes it easy to be able to like move into somebody else's house, you know, with all of their things mm-hmm. still there and it still works. So there's a lot of things in life that are kind of set up to make those things work. But I know we're not alone. I know that other people are mm-hmm. like that too.
I know. I think it's so cool. And it inspired Travis and I to like one day we would like to take a gap year or a gap couple months and be able to like travel in an RV.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
We really want to do that.
We will definitely help you figure out that.
Yes. Yes. And you'll have to help us like decorate it because seriously, yours was so cute.
Thank you.
So good looking.
Yeah, we liked it.
So those are a little out there. But know that it hasn't convinced some of you that are serious about buying. And I say this as a homeowner, like, that's okay. Don't feel guilty for wanting to buy a house. It's fine. Like, it's fine as long we're just trying to like take like houses off their pedestal and like put them back down on the ground where they belong mm-hmm. and just like open you up to whatever your situation is. There is, you know, frugality at play in whatever mm-hmm. stage of life you're at.
Yeah.
And then, so if you're ready to buy, so there are a few things that you should know and start doing. So the first is, like I said before, rates are always at quote unquote attractive lows and housing prices are always quote unquote only going up from here. Like, you need to know that that is all marketing. That is what, realtors, brokers, mortgage bankers, that is what they're all saying. Mm-hmm. So you just need to be level-headed about it and know what you can afford and if you're ready to take on the responsibility of a home. So don't be worried about rates and prices. Like, if you buy a house that's a little more expensive than it was like a few months or years ago, but you are exponentially more ready financially, then that few thousand dollars is not going to break your bank. It's just not. So again, because it's not so much an investment as it is a necessity. So that's number one. Number two, you should start doing best practices to increase your credit score and decrease your debt to income ratio. So banks want it to be less than 28%. So that's how much debt you have to your gross income. So that you can find calculators for that online. They want it to be less than 28%. Better yet, get out of debt first. Getting out of debt frees you up to make down payments quicker, to make home repairs quicker. There is so much benefit to getting out of debt before you buy a house. And if you're trying to pay off debt and you're getting that like itch to buy a home, take it from somebody who bought a home while they were still trying to pay off debt and just wait, because it'll throw you off. Like, we were lucky enough to, it only threw us off by 2 months, but we're like very stubborn people. So if you're not as stubborn as us, like, just
you
don't.
You guys did no spend months. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
so
had to go hard at that.
We were extreme. And so even us, like for us, it threw us off because it's just that new home feel you need to. I mean, we sat with empty rooms in our house for months while we paid off debt, but there were still some things we just needed to buy. When we moved in because it was our home and no landlord was going to provide it for us. Mm-hmm. But you definitely want to get a low debt to income ratio because your goal is to qualify for a conventional loan. And like, there are a lot of options out there. But it's well known that conventional loans have the best rates and the best terms. So don't settle for a loan with more fees and a higher interest rate just to get like a lower down payment and get into a home quicker. Like, don't settle because in the long run, it'll be better for you to qualify for the best loan available. So that's another thing. If you can't qualify for the best loan available, maybe you should wait a little while before you can.
Mm-hmm.
And three is start saving for your down payment. The more you save, the lower your interest rate is, the less PMI you'll have to pay, if anything. And you can also, if you're a first-time homebuyer, be looking at grants. So if your pay is in a certain like bracket, you could qualify for some first-time homebuyer grants. And that's really cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So another post that we have from the internet is one of my favorites. It's from CoachCarson.com. And he is all about real estate investing. And he has written this really infamous house hacking guide. So like how to hack your housing, live for free, and start investing in real estate. So my favorite suggestion of his is one that not a lot of people are going to like. Not a lot of ladies are going to like it, but I think like really nerdy men are super into it. It's really popular with like bachelors. So if you are looking for homes, basically buy a small multi-unit real estate property. So one unit, like get a duplex or a triplex or a fourplex and just live in one of the units and rent out the other ones so that you are an on-site landlord and you can rent out the other units and live for free. So the income will pay for some or all the expenses you'll have in the, you know, that duplex, triplex, or fourplex. So, and then you can use that to continue to save for another home, like a single family home, and then just keep that as an income property, or you know, sell it as the market goes up, like whatever. But it is an awesome hack that I had never heard before. But it makes so much sense. Especially if it's your first place and you're already used to living in apartments, like why not do it for a little longer except for own it? And it's like you still have roommates, but you don't ever have to see them. They have their own entrance and bathroom and you don't have to care about if they clean up after themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. We've actually got quite a few friends who do this. And if you can find good tenants, then it is great. And actually, we even know some people older than us who have been doing this for years and years, and it turned into their job, like just caring for these properties and, you know, maintaining them and getting good renters in, just, you know, even turned into their income as well. So it has a lot of potential, not just in being a housing hack.
Yeah. I think it's so cool. And I wish that we had known about it or had more time to like look into it when we were looking for houses, because we would have definitely done it. We were also looking for single family houses that had a mother-in-law suite in the back. But those are like really hard to find because those are the ones everybody wants, because then they can, you know, have their cake and eat it too. But I know that there are people that will, you know, buy a house and like rent a room out. We do something similar to that. So this is our form of house hacking. So once we paid off our debt, we bought a bed, a new bed for our room, and put our old bed in the guest room. And we rent out the front room of our house on Airbnb. And we've been doing that for about 3 months now, and we make enough to like almost cover our entire mortgage every month since we started. Yeah.
That's
so
great.
Of course we live in St. Petersburg,
major helps that you live in Florida.
Tourist area. Yeah. And we live 15 minutes from the beach, 15 minutes from downtown, 30, 45 minutes from Clearwater. So we're in a good area. But I would have to say, like, I'm sure there are a ton of people that are going to listen to this that are in good areas, you know, near a college or something. Like, we'll get a lot of business people that are here. So if you're near like a convention center or like a bunch of like a big company or something, we get a lot of people from Europe just because they want to go to Florida. I don't think they really care where they are in Florida. They just want to be here. And so we have got, we get a lot of people that want to buy real estate in the area, and they're coming down to like look at houses. So we just get all kinds of people. It's not just people on vacation. And I think it's just a matter of marketing yourself as, you know, a place, you know, wherever you're near, like just capitalizing on what you think will be your, it's like the 80-20 rule. Like 20% will give you like 20% of your efforts will give you 80% of your results. So just like putting a sentence, like really great for University of so-and-so students or like, yeah. So just catering to your crowd is really important. And, we have, people always ask like, do you actually have people like in your house? They're just like walking around in your house with you. And yes, and I will say we are both introverts. But it's not weird. I mean, we have a 3-2 and it was just the two of us. Like, we don't each need a bathroom. So we are in the back of the house. They are in the front of the house. And we have just met the coolest people. Oh, they're so cool. And we're pretty picky on like our, on how you can book with us. Like, you have to be staying at least 2 nights, no more than 2 weeks. You have to be, your government ID has to be verified by Airbnb. And you have to have like all your information, with them, like that they need, you have to pay up front, all that sort of thing. Like,
wow. And the Airbnb screens all that, like they help you to screen like that. That's neat.
Yeah. So, and you know, no infants, children, like no dogs or anything. So we're pretty picky, and that means we get really good people in, and we've enjoyed like almost all of them. So
I won't ask you which ones you didn't enjoy.
So that's like our version of house hacking. And I'll post the direct link to like our referral link in the show notes, but it'll also be at frugalfriendspodcast.com/Airbnb. And you can help us, you can support us by signing up through that link if you also want to become an Airbnb host. And I can also post the link to our listing if you want to check it out and kind of like model your listing after that. And honestly, the picture that we have up is older, and like we don't even have bedside tables in the picture. So like people, we like under promise and over deliver. So like now when they get here, they actually have nightstands.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's my secret to everything. Under promise, over deliver.
Yes. That has been my experience with you, Jen.
Thank you. But yeah, so that if you already own and you can't do like the duplex thing, like seriously, try it out. Like if you don't like it, take your listing down. They have, a lot of people are worried about people hurting themselves and like suing you. Like if you're worried about the type of person that's going to be booking with you, you can like screen people before they stay with you. You don't have to do instant booking. There are a lot of different ways to get around getting people you're nervous about in there. But like we've had single ladies, single men, couples, everyone's just been super classy and super great, like very fun. And yeah, no creepers. So I obviously cannot promise that you won't get a creeper, but there are ways to like manually screen, so that you don't have like people that you don't feel safe with in your home.
Yeah. I mean, because on Airbnb, you can do reviews both directions, right? Uh-huh. Like you can review the people who stay.
Yeah. They review us and we review them as well. Mm-hmm. So you can set it so you only accept people that have a recommendation from a former host.
Yeah.
So that's an option too. So they just make it really easy to do it and feel safe. Cause it is, you know, for us, it's inside of our house. And yeah, nobody's stolen anything besides, I think one couple, I think may have stolen a roll of toilet paper and that's, yeah, that's it. Or, I mean, they had to have stolen. Some people I'm like, did you steal this toilet paper or do you just like really use a lot? But one couple, I'm sure, I was like, you could not use a whole roll in one night, honey. Like, this bathroom would look a lot different. But that's it. And there's still like, there's insurance. Like we actually had a couple who put a CPAP machine for like breathing on our nightstand, and the water kind of ruined the top of the nightstand. And so through Airbnb, we're able to like see like, hey, what do you think went on here? And we sent them a picture and like, oh, that, you know, looks like the bottom of our CPAP machine because it left some weird imprint. And so through the app, we were able to charge them the amount for like, we bought some stain. And so we, you know, uploaded the receipt for the stain, a picture of the nightstand, an explanation, and then we were able to charge them. And Airbnb keeps like all that on record.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. So, and that goes with things that are missing as well. Mm-hmm. Airbnb keeps track of like all those correspondences. And if for some reason, like you're having trouble, like getting through to them on your own, then Airbnb can step in.
Oh, so that's great.
Yeah. It's definitely something that I think more people should try.
Mm-hmm.
So, and be less scared of, even if you only do it for like special events. Like I think the Super Bowl is being hosted in Tampa next year. I don't know football, but that's what I've heard. And so I think we're going to try and rent out our whole house on that weekend and just go out of town. Yeah. So, even if it's just for special events or on weekends, it's very flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
we had even considered something like that with our RV because you can take it places. And so we had heard that local colleges sometimes, like, you know, when they've got homecoming weekends, all the hotels are booked up, a lot of the Airbnbs are, but then you can park and do tailgating, so that sometimes people will just like rent out RVs for people to tailgate in over the weekend. And some people do it and make a lot of money off of it. So yeah, I mean, there's just, no matter what kind of housing situation you're in, it seems like you could consider, well, how might I be able to let someone else use this and make some money?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great idea. Especially, so if anybody else has like an RV that's just sitting around and they're like, oh, I wonder how I can make money off of this, like post it up and be like, I will drive it to this location and you have to pay the fee for its parking and you can't drive it anywhere, but you can stay in it and then I'll drive it off for you. So there's always, as long as you're resourceful, there's usually a way you can make money off things.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Agreed.
All right. Well, it's time again for the bill of the week.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills. Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
from Schnecksville, PA, and here's my bill of the week. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm standing here on Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm off to the White House, where I'll sit around and wait for a lot of other bills to be legislate. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and I pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Yes, a Schoolhouse Rock throwback. I was not expecting that, but thank you so much, yeah. Tom from Schnecksville. Your bill of the week was not lost on us, and I really think it's going to be very hard to top this one. So for the rest of you, though, give it a try. Give us a call. Send us your bill of the week, 570-995-1540. We look forward to hearing what you guys come up with. And move it on.
All right. So for our final wrap up, I feel like we had a lot of tips. So I don't want to throw out any tips, but I do want to have a conversation about commuting. Because so when I listen to the Dave Ramsey show and people are like, what should I do to save money on housing? His answer is always like, move out of the city. You're just stubborn and you don't want to drive. Take a commute. So I wanted to challenge Dave on this.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ooh. We're only four episodes in. Are you sure?
I know. But this is like, I'm a, you know, reformed baby stepper. And like, we're currently teaching Financial Peace University at our church. So it's like, not like I'm anti-Dave. But I did find this, I found this article by Mr. Money Mustache .com. And he is extremely extreme. But he is totally against the commute. And so his argument is that maybe you should rent closer to your work, or buy closer to your work if it's in your budget, and just close enough to your work where you can bike to work. Mm-hmm. And then you are able to sell your financed cars, which you bought because you needed reliable transportation because of your long commute, and never finance cars again, and save all that money on insurance and like go down to one car family. But I thought it was interesting and it challenged me because we are definitely not a one car family. But I am close enough to my work to bike, and I don't. And I sit around a bunch of people that do bike to work, and my justification for not biking is that I like to, like, I just get in the car after work and go straight to the gym. Because then I can get to the class that I want on time. But he did the math for a couple that wanted to move from their neighborhood that was close to their jobs to his neighborhood, which had more affordable housing. So he calculated that if they moved to his neighborhood, it gave both of them, gave them 38 extra miles a day between the two of them. And so using the IRS's standard 51 cents a mile deduction, which if you have a business and you deduct mileage for work, that's what that is. So if you just use that standard, it estimates that they'd pay an extra $19 every weekday to live in the cheaper neighborhood. So not to mention that the commute in traffic would take 40 minutes each way.
Yeah.
But that would be an extra $4,700 a year. Which if you're renting, that's like significant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as significant if you're buying, but
significant. And that's not to mention like how much then of your life is rearranged because of that commute. Like I used to commute 45, 50 minutes both ways. And there were times that because of that, I didn't want to go all the way or either way I did it. If I went all the way home and then back out with Eric that night, or just saying to him, hey, can you just like meet me halfway or come down to me where I'm working because there's this cool thing that's going on down here. Now we got two cars, mm-hmm. you know, a half an hour away from home, and now we're both driving home. So like that's not even factoring in the different things that you would orient your life around because you are commuting so far to work.
Yeah. And the price like of that financed car that you need because you needed a newer car, like the insurance right. costs more on those like newer cars. That commute you have is lost time that could be spent like cooking dinner at home. So of course the longer commute means you eat out more. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to live closer to your job. And if the rent is just too ridiculous by where you work, like another option is to be on the lookout for jobs closer to your affordable home, in which case you could take a slight pay decrease and you'd still come up on top. Like if you consider your time as like a part of your compensation. Right. And like it's easy to get complacent at a job like with people you like and tasks you know how to do. But like being on the lookout for higher paying jobs, like with or better benefits, like closer to home or just in general, should always be on your radar. Like, what do you think, Jill?
Yeah, I knew a woman who was constantly updating her like Indeed account and always had an updated resume and was constantly on the lookout. And at first that struck me like, oh man, is she not happy? But it really just was, I want to learn and grow and I want to be in the best possible place. And I'm always ready to go someplace else. And that's yeah. not to say like be flaky. Don't be a loyal employee someplace. But I would agree with the not being complacent mentality, that I think that just in general, yeah, life is more enjoyable and worthwhile if we're stretching ourselves and growing. And sometimes that means a job switch. Sometimes that can't mm-hmm. happen within your job.
Yeah. And gosh, even if you like your job, getting a competitive like offer from another company could allow you to negotiate higher salary at the job that you already love. Yeah. So there's like not, it's 2018. Like if you can keep it under wraps enough, like if you're worried about losing your job because you're looking, like just be really careful about it. Don't like post your resume on Facebook. Like, yeah. You just have to be smart about it. But yeah, always keeping your resume updated, keeping your LinkedIn profile updated, what have you, could like not only get you some better offers from, you know, competitive companies, but could possibly get you freelance gigs as well, which saves you a lot of time because you don't normally have to drive to freelance gigs. Yeah. So yeah, but that is an uncommon way to look at like house hacking, like lowering your cost on housing. You know, maybe you lower your car and commuting costs and there you go. Then you can afford your rent or mortgage better. Like then it's in your right. budget. So it's not always about lowering every single line item on your budget. It's just about lowering the ones that matter less to you, so that you can afford the things that really do matter.
Yeah.
Word.
Word.
Word. And that's all I have to say about that.
I like it. That's a good wrap up. I like that you challenged Dave Ramsey. You went out on a limb and you know what? He's been challenged.
Yeah. You know, I think we'll definitely have like a lot of listeners that are in baby step two. And that is my sincerest hope. And I just hope that all you baby steppers out there are okay with my like slight jabs at Dave. Dave. jabs at Dev. Because I do love him. I do think he's been like foundational in the success of so many people's finances. And I would not want to see a world without Dave Ramsey. So it comes out of love.
Nice plug. I don't think he's ever going to listen to this, but
no, maybe one day.
Ever gets back.
Yeah. Just tell him the Frugal Friends love him. All right. Well, with that, we're going to wrap it up for this one. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, you can check us out on frugalfriendspodcast.com. You can join our mailing list. We're going to have a really good freebie to help you guys save money with other stuff. And subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. And definitely leave a review if you're liking what you're hearing. That's the best way more people will find out about the podcast. And yeah, it's the best frugal way that you can help us out. So again, I am Jen.
And I'm Jill.
And we're your frugal friends. Stay frugal.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
And next week we're going to have Will Smith, potentially. I'm going to try and see if his schedule would allow him to join us.
Next week, Will Smith, if we reach out to him, if we have time. I'm sure he'll be fine being on the podcast.
Yeah, I plan to reach out to him, so...
Oh, well, if you do, then then I feel confident in saying...
So, like, if I'm planning to reach out to him, then, yeah, probably can be confident that next week we'll hear from Will Smith.
Yeah. He's from Philadelphia, right? So, like, your guys are neighbors.
Yeah.
Born and raised.
Well, yeah. When I say reach out, I mean, like, you know, like, walk down the street and knock on his door.
And reach out your hand. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So that'll be a good one. I don't know what he knows about finance, but we'll find out.
He is so inspirational. Everybody has been tagging me in his Instagrams, and they're like, thank you for being an inspiration to the debt-free community. And I'm like crying on the other side of the screen. But he's so inspirational.
Yeah.
He's like killing it on Instagram. He's killing it everywhere.
Yeah.
He's Will Smith.
He's a talented guy.
That's a special place in my hard drive.
All right, too far.